Hey, everybody. Happy Sunday. My remarks at the Salem Radio Network event in the Inland Empire, KTIE. Great folks. Brought to you by AM 590, The Answer. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And subscribe to our podcast. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. As always, you can email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, and become a member if you enjoy our program and support us every single day. Members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of The Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Lara Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
All right. Okay. Hey, everybody. How are we doing today? So I'm here to talk about how Trump is going to win. That is the topic I'm giving in front of you. And let's be honest about what it's going to take for Donald Trump to win. I know a lot of you guys are involved in this, are in the grassroots. They definitely have something planned for us the remainder of this year. Whether it be another virus, another blackout, we must be on guard, everybody, because they are going to try another asymmetric propaganda war to try to take us off our game going into November. Now, it's very easy for us to believe that there is no way that Joe Biden could possibly win another term. You have to get that out of your head. We are running up against a rigged system that we are going to have to overcome. They're going to outspend us. They control all the instruments of power. But there are many things that are not working in Joe Biden and the Democrats' advantage right now. And it is three letters, and it is a surprise to all of them, and that is RFK. RFK, at first, was a threat to many of us. I mean, a lot of you are probably RFK fans, honestly, and probably bought his book. I agree with him on COVID and some of that stuff, but you must remember, RFK is a Massachusetts liberal that is running as an independent. Now, mind you, RFK is taking 70% more. He's 70% from Biden, 30% from Trump. One of the marching orders that we have in the key battleground states is how can we get Trump supporters to not support RFK or Republicans and come home to Donald Trump? They are freaking out about the threat that RFK poses to the Democrat Party and to the Democrat regime. And to put this into perspective, in the key states, we look that RFK could take anywhere between 13, 15, to 17% where it matters most. That is decisive. In fact, for those of you that might remember this, I wasn't even alive at the time. 1992, Ross Perot. Who voted for Ross Perot here? Raise your hand. Okay, there you go. By the way, a lot of Ross Perot people became Trump people because they were upset with the system. Am I right? A lot of connection between Ross Perot and Trump. Ross Perot did not win a single electoral vote in the 1992 presidential election. Not a single electoral vote. However, Ross Perot won 19 million votes and probably and likely gave Bill Clinton the presidency in 1992. Ross Perot took far more from H.W. Bush than he did from Bill Clinton. We are looking at a very similar set of circumstances with RFK going into this election. The second thing that is very promising and is not working for the Democrats that I think we have to talk about is that the Democrats have enjoyed a monopoly with younger voters for quite some time. The work that we are doing at Turning Point is historic and is measurable, and young men are the most conservative they have been in the last 50 years. It is the work that many of you have supported and got behind at Turning Point Action and Turning Point USA. I visit college campuses, so you guys don't have to. Actually, we're on tour right now. I've gone all across the country. We're staying on tour, bringing the biggest names to campuses, starting high school chapters, starting college chapters, organizing students and young people around these core values of American exceptionalism, liberty, the ideas that matter so much. Young men could decide the 2024 election. What is it about young men? And young women are an opportunity. Let's put it that way. There's a lot of work to be done with young ladies. What makes it that young men are turning right in such a dramatic fashion? Our entire culture has launched a war on men, a war on young men, and specifically a war on young white men. And young men are pushing back against that by becoming more conservative, whether it be guilty until proven innocent on a college campus, the trans nonsense, which I am going to talk about in just one second, or whether it be the political correctness regime. Young men are trying to find an alternative, and they're seeing that alternative in Donald Trump, in the MAGA movement, and in conservatism. The biggest problem we have right now at Turning Point is we cannot find rooms big enough to fit all the students that want to attend our campus events. It's a major problem. Now, the final thing that is not working for the Democrats is this war between Israel and Hamas. There is a serious Muslim defection happening in the Democrat Party. This puts Michigan in play. This might even put Minnesota in play, everybody, where so many Muslims are saying they will not vote for Joe Biden, that they'll be uncommitted. And they are starting this massive movement to try and splinter the Democrat Party. Now, let's talk about certain issues. This election is a very unusual election because it's the first time in any of your lifetimes where you'll have two people that were both once presidents running for the presidency. It's very unusual. Therefore, it's almost as if you have two incumbents. And the thing that is benefiting us is that the memory of the Trump presidency is far greater than the memory or the tragedy of what Joe Biden is doing. And let's just call it how it is. Joe Biden is a traitor to the United States. He is a traitor to this country. And understand that some of the issues that are going to define this election might be a little unusual. And let's talk about one here. If you say, Charlie, what is one issue that we should go all in on in California? There's one issue that involves parents, that involves students, that involves your country, that is unpopular with the people, yet is getting pushed by your leaders. And that is the mortal sin of chopping off 13 and 14-year-olds' private parts under the idea of gender-affirming care. This is one of the most important things that you could do here in California. This is unpopular when people are presented with the facts and the topics. And California is now the sanctuary state for this nonsense across the country. I believe that Donald Trump should run on a nationwide ban against medical mutilation and gender-affirming care for minors. In fact, I believe that Donald Trump should bring together the thousands of young people that no longer can have children, that have their breasts removed in their 20s and 30s, that were lied to by these butchers. We must be very clear. any doctor that does surgery on a minor under the guise of gender-affirming care, they will be bankrupted and they should end up in prison for what they have done to our nation's children. The Democrats are terrified of this issue. This is why the ballot what's the ballot referendum called again? Protect our children. You guys should all become worker bees to get the signatures. I get asked all the time, what can I do? What can I do? Have all of you got 1,000 signatures for this? Protect our children? Probably not. If everybody in this room went and got a couple hundred signatures, we could get this ballot referendum on the ballot this November and make the trans issue the issue here in California. Now understand, huh? There's 1 week. I don't know how they're doing. The time is of the essence. But here's the reality, everybody, is that if we are afraid of what the alphabet mafia and the purple-haired jihadis are going to call us, and we're not willing to defend our children, we have no business being in politics. This is a moral-defining issue of our time. And understand how it works. There has been a 5,000% increase. A 5,000% increase in trans identification with our nation's youth in the last couple of years. This is not a medical issue. This is a fad. This is a social contagion where so many young people are finding this nonsense on digital social media. They're finding this on TikTok. They're absorbing this. And there are three types of people in this world. There are infants, predators, and protectors of infants. Right now, California is being run by predators, people that are perfectly okay taking a child away from their parents and giving them cross-sex hormones, giving them testosterone, giving them a hysterectomy. The political issue is massive here because there are certain things that should not be allowed by law, and the Democrats know this. This is why they're afraid to debate this topic. This is why they're afraid to engage on it. This is why they're trying to prevent this ballot referendum from getting on there in the first place. One of the ways that we take back this country and get Donald Trump elected is that we go all in on issues that the Democrats are owning that are destroying the country. The trans is number one. Number two, and Donald Trump is the best on this, we need to build the wall and deport every single illegal foreigner that has come into this country. Every single one. This is not a racial issue, by the way. The people that are the most in support of this are Hispanic Americans that came here the right way, and they're sick of the line cutting and the stealing and the cheating. Understand, and I don't know how much time we have a little bit of time, okay. That if there is the biggest takeaway here from my speech, and what makes Charlie Kirk different than some people on radio, is that I believe what is happening to our country is happening because it's intentional, not by mistake. It is one of the most important realizations. Unfortunately, the majority of Republicans that are sent to Washington, D.C. think that Joe Biden means well, and he's just not doing a good job. I want to draw your attention to an academic paper that was written in the 1970s. It was called the Cloward-Piven Strategy. It's one of the most important things that you should be aware of. Cloward and Piven were two political scientists. They were communists. They wanted to destroy the country. They wanted to create a Marxist revolution. And they said, how on earth are we going to bring Marxism to this country? And these two academics wrote a paper called the Cloward-Piven Strategy for a Marxist Revolution. And I'm paraphrasing part of this, but it was three things, and you can fact check me on it. Number one, borrow so much money where you are a debtor nation and your dollar becomes worth nothing. We are borrowing $1 trillion every 100 days. Number two, build a deep state in the government, a massive permanent bureaucracy that is unaccountable to the will of the people and creates a fourth branch of government above the Constitution. Did Peter Strzok or Lisa Page or James Comey or Bruce and Nellie Orr ever go to jail for what they did with Russiagate? Of course not. Anthony Fauci, was he held accountable? he got a bonus and is making more money than ever before. Number three in the Cloward Piven strategy, open up the borders and allow millions of foreigners to come across where citizenship means nothing, sovereignty is deteriorated, and the nation state is no more. The Cloward Piven strategy was a radical idea 40 or 50 years ago. It is now the mission statement of the Biden presidency. You are now living through something that many of you probably never thought you would see, where a occupant of the White House is intentionally employing policies and ideas that harm the very country that they are sworn in to defend and protect. This is why I was so upset with the House Republicans, where they did not get impeachment done of Joe Biden. They were, oh, you know, all this China stuff. Yes, he is a traitor for what he did for China, but he is an obvious traitor for just what he's doing for the southern border. Just the border alone is enough to impeach Joe Biden, but they messed that up, and that's not going to happen. But we should have gotten it done, but they didn't. And that is what's so important for us to recognize and realize, is that this November, this election, it might not, you know, people say it's the most important election. Of course it's the most important election. Every year is, because the country keeps on getting in a worse position and a worse shape year after year after year. But it might be the last election that our country has. Because you cannot continue to survive if the ruling class hates the country that they are sworn to defend and to protect. So how do we win? Well, it goes back to Nebraska. It goes back to why you are all here. And I'm going to give you guys some tough love. And some of you guys are not necessarily involved in this, but the left currently, as a political machine, they want it more than us. You might say, Charlie, I want it a lot. Well, it might not be you, but our movement is not a serious movement currently. If it was, this would not be even a question in Nebraska to change the electoral vote. If it was, we would not even have a question about getting voter ID and signature verification and no more mail-in ballots. Why do we put up with this? Because our side continues to be a side of lovable losers. Donald Trump is the only person that stands in the way of that. He is this movement that so many of you are part of, this populist, nationalist, diverse movement of people of different backgrounds, the muscular class, police officers, firefighters, veterans. The movement embodies one thing more than anything else, is that we will not accept losing and feeling good while losing. Victory is the only option, and that means using political power. That means being relentless. That means being gritty. And that attitude is not widespread right now in the Republican Party. Did this House Republican conference balance the budget? No. We're borrowing more money than ever before. Did they secure the border? No. 10,000 people a day. We have almost zero wins across the board because it's an attitude of losing. But it must start with you. And we have another shot coming here in November, and that shot is making Donald Trump the 47th president of the United States, and it's going to go through Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia, and you guys are going to play a massive role. So I want to invite Jen and Grant up. So here's your marching order, everybody. You could go to my social media. We need everybody to call the governor of Nebraska and demand a special session to go to winner take all, okay? It's that simple. Special session, winner take all. You might say, but Charlie, I have nothing to do with Nebraska. Wrong. This is a national issue now, everybody. It impacts every single one of us. This is an American issue, not just a Nebraska issue. Okay. Grant, we want to do some questions?
So let me start off with this idea of communism and the study you mentioned, because it's so fascinating. I've actually said that I thought what happened in COVID, in the beginning, I thought it was a test. But I don't actually believe it was a test anymore. I actually believe it was the culmination. They've been talking about communism for 40 years almost in this country and the plan to take it over. And I think they were surprised by the pushback they got.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they're surprised, but they're going to just try it again. I'm a big believer in justice. Why have we not had Nuremberg-style trials for the people that developed the vaccine and pushed the vaccine, and for the people that locked down our schools and masked our kids? I think if Donald Trump becomes president, he needs to have a special committee, a special counsel that goes to just indict the war crimes that were done under COVID. And by the way, just that issue alone, how many people were kicked out of the military for not taking the mRNA gene-altering shot? How many people were that lost their jobs that were forced? That is one of the great injustices of the last couple of years. And look, the bright spot is this, Grant, is that they were shocked that despite all of the bullying, despite all the propaganda, despite all the arm twisting, that 20 million people in this country still did not take the COVID shot. That is the highest number in any Western country. A lot of people, and I'm not faulting you, but if you did, let's be honest, you fell for the propaganda. Okay, I'm not saying it was the wrong decision for your health, but a lot of people have been harmed by this thing. And a lot of young people have been permanently damaged. Myocarditis, pericarditis, drop dead, blood clots. I mean, and the data is just beginning to come out. But they did everything. They paid people to get it. They kicked them out of their job. They incentivized them. And despite all of that, this remnant in this country said, no, I will not bend a knee to the government. And that gives me great hope, Grant. It really does.
I have to give a shout out because one of our great engineers, call screeners, video operators, we call him Radar. He actually was kicked out of the military because he wouldn't take the COVID vax. And there are people who will stand up to it and stand for truth, and we won't be tricked again.
And it's a great tribute to Salem, too, that we hire a guy like Radar. Yeah. So many companies were afraid to hire people.
No, it's even worse. Other radio networks, which you guys should not listen to.
That's true.
And Dan Bongino was the one to show this, the company Dan Bongino works for.
Cumulus.
Well, yeah, I mean, they threatened to take his show off air and tried to fire his whole team over not taking the vaccine. Salem was always like, if you want it, great. If you don't, great. Kudos to Salem for doing the right thing. They were terrific.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have Jen and Grant and Charlie, I think. That's for sure.
By the way, if it would have come to I would have quit. Yeah. I mean, that's how big it was. It was more of the principle of the thing. Like, I'm not going to put this thing in my body just because you tell it. Like, for me, that's like top issue self-sovereignty type stuff. So
we have in California, I have said for a long time that the reason Republicans don't win in California is not that there aren't enough Republican voters. There really are. We voted, more voters come for Trump from California than from any other state. But we have a real problem between the grassroots and the establishment. And the establishment Republicans, we see this in D.C. too, make things a lot harder, what you're talking about. We're lovable losers. But they're still afraid. And this room is filled with people in the grassroots who are putting in the blood, sweat, and tears to make change. And I think we feel disheartened by the establishment shutting us down. So how can we make connections? How can the grassroots continue to thrive? Because that's who's here today.
The first thing you need to do is take back your state party. That's the first thing you need to do. And that's a big ask. I don't know how, is it precinct committeeman here, or is it, how do you guys elect your state party chair here? Every state is different.
The state party chair is within the people in the committee, right?
I don't know if your current chair is good or bad or whatever, but generally, it's the state party problem that is the easiest way to do this. Again, I don't know if the current chair is good or bad, or the current committeeman is good or bad. Okay, I do know that you're one of the committeemen voted for Rana and was a big fan of Rana. A friend of mine, Sean Steele, and he should resign for supporting Rana. Anyone who voted for Rana should be kicked out of the RNC and should be run out of office, right? Anybody that did. And I got in a big fight. I said, Sean, you know, you supporting Rana McRomney, this will be the end of your tenure as being a respected political figure. And he said, Rana's great. I said, she is a terrible insurgent who is there to destroy Donald Trump and destroy our movement. So he's got to go. But that's what's one way. So get involved in the local GOP and then the California GOP. And go and get rid of these people that are not representing your voice. So let's just think about this, right? So I hate to pick on Sean Steele because I've known him for a while, but I did give him a warning, right? I said, you support Rana, you're done. End of the line. So he represents you guys as the grassroots and goes to the RNC meeting in Dana Point, despite the RNC having the worst fundraising in 30 years, despite the fact that Rana does nothing to fix Nebraska, despite the fact that Rana does these stupid debates when we should never have had any of those debates that were a mockery to the RNC. She's spending millions of dollars wasting them on flowers and Lululemon and is the worst chair ever. And your committeeman for California goes down and says, stamp of approval, she's a friend of mine. Like, that's not going to work anymore. We're going to drive you out of office. That's the attitude. And you can get that done. We need a state party chair and a committee that actually represents the voters. And if you guys don't like hearing that, then, you know, sorry, the grassroots are going to take over the party. That's the way that this is trending.
And just to follow up real quick on that, because obviously, I don't know if you guys heard, but Trump raised $50 million last night. And that's a result of getting rid of Rana and taking over the RNC. And this is, people say, well, Trump's doing too much. He's getting too involved with the RNC. This is how the Democrats do it every single time. But I want to know your thoughts about what the new RNC is going to look like with Scott Pressler and with Laura Trump.
It's amazing. I mean, first of all, they listen to the grassroots. The old RNC was controlled opposition. And by the way, do you want me to prove it to you? Where does Rana go once she's done with the RNC? Goes and gets a gig from NBC News. By the way, they don't even like her. Nobody likes Rana. She's like, the Democrats don't like her. Republicans don't like her. She is one of the greatest losers in modern American politics. That will be her legacy. Yeah, sorry. Am I too aggressive?
No, you're not too aggressive at all. Yeah. You think that's too aggressive for me?
No, but anyway, the point being is this, which is that the RNC with the current regime, Watley, Laura Trump, and La Savita is in a much better place. But why is it that we win elections but we don't win legislative fights? Why is it that we don't get accountability to the grassroots? Because for years, the RNC and many of these other figure places, they don't care about you. I went down when I tried to get Harmeet Dhillon elected as RNC chair, who's great, by the way. She's amazing. When I tried to get Harmeet Dhillon elected as RNC chair to Dana Point, I shook hands. I looked at people. They don't care about what you think.
They don't.
They care about access to power. They thought Rana was doing an excellent job. Because for them, maybe it was. So it's a pay-for-play operation. We have to blow it up. And I hope Trump gets more involved in the RNC, not less.
I think you'll agree with this, Charlie, and you too, Jen. If I can give you a brighter lining of all of this, this is not unique to California, and it's not unique to national politics. So if you want California, you know what you have in common with Texas, where I spent a lot of time? We got the same problem in Texas with the GOP. And that is a very bright red state where you have good conservatives. So I have always said, Charlie, that local politics, state politics becomes a microcosm of Washington. What happens in the swamp in Washington? We have it in Sacramento. We have it at L.A. City Hall. And the Republican Party had been so entrenched in the old way of doing politics. They don't know about social media. They don't know about grassroots. And it only started to change when I ran for Congress in 2011. When the Tea Party was at its strongest. And the Tea Party started to change everything, and that's when the battle began. And only now are we starting to see victories like Laura Trump taking over the RNC.
Yeah, and understand that the Tea Party movement fizzled out temporarily because the Koch network came and tried to take over the Tea Party. The Koch brothers, Americans for Prosperity, which was one of the great cons ever done in the history of the conservative movement. Many of you guys might have been involved in Americans for Prosperity, but this was open borders, pro-drug legalization, globalists that came in and took the energy of the Tea Party. If it was not for Donald Trump, the entire idea of fighting would have just died by the wayside. We would have had nothing but Paul Ryan's and Mitch McConnell's. And so, look, you guys deserve better. And that's why I fight so hard on radio and fight so hard at Turning Point, is that you guys are prayerful warriors, happy warriors. You raised your kids. You go to church. You support this wonderful network. You do the right thing. And you are angry because your leaders failed to do the right thing. And you should be angry because I've spent time amongst many of them. They are smug. They're condescending. They're disconnected to many of you. And it does not bother them that there's 10,000 foreigners coming across the border every day. It does not bother them that we're borrowing $1 trillion every 100 days. And instead, they're like, oh, well, you have to trust the process. We sent you there to go no longer follow the process, but to get stuff done. We did not send you there to just be part of a country club. And so, but yes, we're finally starting to see things change. And this is going to outlast Trump. As Turning Point starts to get more powerful, as these shows start to get bigger, what is their constituency? The Mitt Romney, Ronna Romney, Liz Cheney wing of the party is dying. And the Donald Trump wing of the party is ascendant, and it's just a matter of time before we start to make the Republican Party a true opposition party.
And I think that means that we can't be bullied anymore. See, what they don't like about Trump is they can't bully him or shame him into things like they've done to Republicans for a while. So I get asked this all the time. So I'm going to pass it to you because I always say I think it's great. I don't think it hurts him. But people always ask me the legal troubles for Donald Trump. What factor does that have in an election year?
I think it helps. They're going to now introduce him. His New York trial is coming up soon. The Alvin Bragg trial, which is such a tragedy of justice. Business records, you're going to try to, it's just unbelievable. And then that one, they're going to add something to Donald Trump's name. Every time Donald Trump goes on TV, they'll say, convicted felon Donald Trump, convicted felon Donald Trump. So you just have to get ready for that. The Jack Smith stuff, I don't think that's going to happen before the election. And if Donald Trump wins, I think he should just pardon himself. I think that this, I mean, I'm not kidding. This whole thing is such a joke.
I'm surprised Biden hasn't pardoned himself and Trump.
Yeah, well, because so far.
And Hunter,
and,
rather.
And he might on the way out. But I think what it does is it turns Trump into a sympathetic figure. They are overreaching. They're incredibly ferocious and aggressive. And, yeah, I think it probably helps him. The way he has played it is excellent. But make no mistake, Jack Smith might not be done. He might do a superseding indictment on an insurrection charge before November. Jack Smith is doing everything he possibly can. The documents case is almost certainly not going to come up before November. So there's four cases. The one in Georgia is a complete mess. No one's going to take anything that comes out of that seriously because Fannie Willis is just a complete joke.
Yeah.
And she should not be on that case. So that, thankfully, that one has really fallen apart. By the way, that one was the most serious of all of them because that one they were building up with co-conspirators and co-defendants. It was a big issue. So thankfully, that one's fallen apart. The one that Jack Smith is going to try to get into trial by September, which will probably not happen, is the January 6th case. But look, Donald Trump is unique. He is the ultimate embodiment of what we call anti-fragile, which is the more you attack him, the actually stronger he gets. And also our movement feels the same way, which is the more opposition you throw at us, the more nonsense that you try to attack us, the stronger we actually get.
You know, Donald Trump yesterday, I don't know if you saw his Truth Social post that he made, but he basically was trying to push Judge Engoron into throwing him in the clink, as President Trump called it. He said, I dare you to put me in jail over this gag order.
And that's the civil trial. That's the fifth
one. The civil
trial.
That's
a different one.
Over a gag order. And so a buddy of mine named Bruce Lavelle, I think you know Bruce, who is a close confidant of President Trump, called all of this the season of exposure. And what have we seen? We've seen the season of exposure, certainly a Lovebirds 2.0 in Georgia being exposed. Then we just saw this judge in New York, $95 million his daughter raises for Adam Schiff and all of these causes. And she's fundraising off of the case that her father is overseeing. All of it will come out between now and November. That's not to say they're not going to try to bring more stuff on us. But it is the season of exposure, Charlie.
Yeah, and I think this is part of the awakening. And that is why I'm ultimately optimistic. Because, look, this is going to hopefully have a political ending. But the prerequisites that we are living through are awfully troubling. Which is a small group of people that run the country, that have a ton of money and a ton of power, that hate you. And they hate the fact that you're getting more involved in the process. That's a bad set of events. Let's just be honest, okay? When the most powerful people hate the country they govern and despise it at the core, they're going to do some very radical stuff. And that's lawfare. Because, again, it's not about Trump. It's about Trump's movement. Those are two different things. And every single one of you are part of his movement. And they despise the fact that you have a voice, that you are able to participate in the process, that you are in the room. And this is an oligarchy. They say every single time you hear on television, our democracy, our democracy, our democracy. Just replace the word democracy with oligarchy, and it all starts to make sense. Our oligarchy, our oligarchy, our oligarchy is under attack. You're right. It is under attack. And the reason why Trump is unique, well, there's a lot of reasons, but that makes him is he's a class traitor in the sense that he was one of the elites. That he was one of them, and he decided to no longer be one of the elites and to go fight for the forgotten man and woman in this country. And what makes him more appealing is that, especially for working class people that have felt as if they have been, and you're right, by the way, those of you that work with your hands, those of you that work in factories in California, but especially in the heartland of this country, Iowa, Ohio, that there was a bargain by very wealthy people to shut down the factories, to go disenfranchise the heartland of the country, to go make a smaller group of people very, very rich and wealthy. And the indictments of Trump are, no, we actually hate you so much, we want the one person that you like politically to go in jail so you can't vote for him. And that creates a furor, a backlash like we've never seen. And so I think we should lean into the indictments. I think Donald Trump should sell, continue, you know, T-shirt mugshots. I'm not kidding. I think that the and it's a sad thing. I used to trust the American system of justice. Now I think it's completely rigged and run by a small kleptocracy that want to destroy the country.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, how many of you feel that way? I know I do, where you just go, do I trust anything that's happening? It's amazing. So I don't know, Charlie, if you know, but on Election Day here in California, a lot of dead Democrats vote. It's amazing. So election integrity. I know you watch these states that are important, the key states that will determine the election. What do you think? I know under Rana, not enough was done. There is some time, but where does it stand right now?
Yeah, it's not great. This is the lack of the will by the Republican Party. I think we need we're doing everything we can at Turning Point to ballot chase and to get involved in Arizona. But we might fall short, everybody. And if we do, it'll largely because Republican governors in Republican states with Republican legislatures did not get rid of mass mail-in voting. And so, again, our side is not serious about winning. We kind of passively hope we win. And kind of like, you know, hope it happens.
We should win, right?
And why am I taking the tone I'm taking? Because I have too much respect for you, and you guys support me too much to lie to you. So I could do what some people might do, where they come up and they do hopium, hope and opium together. It feels good, but it's really bad for you. We're going to win no matter what. We're going to overwhelm the system. We can. We might. But I don't know if we will. And that's because they structurally have rigged the game, and I can go through this as quick as possible. You have dirty voter rolls that then result in mail-in ballots to everybody on the dirty voter rolls. Therefore, those ballots are technically legitimate, even though they are ballots that never should have been sent out in the first place. And then they get sent in, and they get processed as if they're legitimate, but it goes back to the original sin of dirty voter rolls. So the original sin is dirty voter rolls that you have to try to sue to clean up. And a lot of work has been done on that, but not enough work has been done on that. The RNC has just, thankfully, with Laura Trump, they've done a lawsuit in Michigan in 57 counties where they have more registered people on the ballot, on the rolls than actual voters. And every one of those people get a ballot, right? Just everyone, mass mail-in balloting does that. And so how do you fix it? It requires the will to fix it if we ever get back into political power. In the meantime, we have to kind of engage in the lesser of two evils and try to use the system to our advantage, which is why in California, I do hope you guys ballot harvest. I do guys hope you guys do this because you have no choice. You just don't, right? You're in a terrible one-party state where you try to use the rules in front of you. It's the only possible way to try to scrap yourself back into political relevancy. Anything short of that is a guarantee that you will fall short. But not enough has been done, Jen. Not enough has been done.
I'll give you an example that goes with the GOP establishment not doing enough to secure our elections. So, one, I've talked with people inside the Trump campaign, very close to President Trump. They actually quietly believe they've got to beat the vote by the fraud by 5%. If they can overcome 5%, they're not going to be able to steal enough votes in order to overcome President Trump. So that's one motivation to get out there. But I'll give you this example. On the Real America's Voice show on Friday night, we had a guy who was running for state house in Texas. He lost by 500 votes to one of the impeachment managers of Ken Paxton. Do you remember this? This is the attorney general in Texas who's under fire like President Trump because they just despise him and him being really a grassroots AG going after Biden. Forget the election in Dallas, because where do they steal elections? Blue cities and counties in purple and red states. Okay? In Dallas. Forget about all the politics behind who's running and who. They had not certified the software on Super Tuesday since 2019. Now, how many of you have a cell phone that you update? I got to update my cell phone every month. You get not certifying election software since 2019. Where was the Republican Party in Dallas? Where are they in Phoenix, in Maricopa County? Where are they in every city across the country, Charlie?
Well, I know. And here's the problem is that this election integrity fight is the gritty knife fight that will determine the civilization. And temperamentally, a lot of Republicans don't have what it takes. So, for example, anyone who gets close to this topic, it's a 50-50 chance they're just going to raid your home and indict you. I'm just being honest. So you have to be willing to go to prison for the rest of your life if you even engage on it. Well, I'm not joking.
Here they're coming for us.
Well, no, of course. But guys, you guys realize that, like, if you're not currently, like, probably going to go to jail, you're not involved enough. And if you're laughing, then, like what are you doing? I mean, seriously, I've not been seeing what's going on here. Like, they're throwing grandmas in gulags. Like, they're throwing in Michigan. These poor grandmas that are on Medicare and Social Security are facing life in prison because they signed a piece of paper to be an alternate elector in Michigan. Like, I mean, this is, at this point, we are so beyond the realm of normal America. You should never do anything illegal, but people are not going to jail for doing something illegal. Siaka Massaquai, who's an amazing American patriot locally here in California, a black Trump supporter, walked into the Capitol and walked out on January 6th and was hunted down by the feds for 2 years and has had to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars defending himself and has now been indicted on crimes that could land him in jail for a couple years now that he's having his second baby, his wife is pregnant. Or the crying grandma who went into the Capitol building and said a prayer for God's intercession over the nation was just convicted last week by a jury of her peers and faces 3 years in federal prison. Okay? There is no going back from this. The only way forward is through, and that is you have to change your attitude. And I understand. You might be a Sunshine Patriot. What they talked about in the revolution. The guys that fought the revolution during the summer, and then as soon as it got cold, they went back home to their farm because it was too cold. There's a lot of Sunshine Patriots out there. I get it. But we're going to need a fighting army. And when I mean fighting, I don't mean actual fighting. The media takes all this crap out of context. I mean a political fight, okay, where it's going to require the grit and the resolve where they might end up raiding all of our homes and throwing us in jail and consider it all a blessing. For those of you that are Christians, what are you afraid of? You shouldn't be afraid of that. Consider persecution a blessing, right? And so I know that might be really intense and really heavy because you're like, but I thought we lived in America. We live in a place called America.
Go see my friends, Where's Midas Gold Group over here. Start buying gold so you can leave it for your kids when you're in prison. They can't take it from your bank account.
I do want to make sure, though, that the media in the back here is that he did not say it was a bloodbath. He did not say it will be a bloodbath.
I said it was a knife fight.
A knife fight, right.
A metaphorical knife fight. But let me just say this, though, that the election integrity thing has spooked every major top-tier lawyer, every major Republican, because they're in self-preservation mode. I'm just being honest. That's where it is. And in Arizona, they are contemplating more indictments of the alternate elector stuff, where these people signed pieces of paper in the 2020 election of the alternate electors, which has been done in the 1960 election. It's totally fine. And they're destroying their lives, and they're trying to throw them in prison. And we, as Republicans, did we indict a single Democrat operative for illegal ballot chasing or ballot harvesting or the mule activity? No. Because they are serious about winning. We want to lose comfortably. Hate to be that brutally honest. That's where we're at.
All right, one last question for
you. On that uplifting note, Jim.
I know.
But here's the
good
news.
Tell us something happy.
No, here's the good news, is that you guys don't believe that. Yeah. So the only thing that needs to change is you need the leaders to mirror what the grassroots believe. Yeah. That's the ask. If I was talking to a bunch of you and you're like, oh, Charlie, you know, you're exaggerating. The country's fine. Then, you know. But you guys are on fire for this, and you want and deserve better leaders, and you will get what you demand in politics. Let me say that again. In politics, you get what you demand over a period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, just to wrap things up, and this isn't, I don't think, going to give us much of a happy note to wrap it on, but Speaker Johnson was just in Los Angeles last week, and he was with all of our elected representatives, all of our congressional leaders. He knows that California... the path to victory in the House is going to come through California. It did last time. It will again. My fear is that Trump gets elected, and the minute he pardons himself, the minute he sneezes, it's going to be impeachment palooza all over again. So we need to make sure that while we get Trump elected, that we need to get congressional representation as well. We need the House to stay in the hands of Republicans. Can we?
No, I totally agree. I have a ceasefire with Speaker Johnson right now. So
you have a ceasefire
with
him?
That's why I asked.
Oh, mine's just ramping up.
No. You got to do a ceasefire.
Okay.
And I'll try to convince you.
Okay.
not that I think he's doing a good job, which he knows that I'm very critical of him. But when you have a one-seat majority, I temporarily am going to pull back the artillery. So that's where I'm at. And part of that is his fault. Part of it's not his fault. But I mean, you got Ken Buck. You got Mike Gallagher. Kevin McCarthy never should have resigned from his seat. That thing is it's so outrageous, in my personal opinion. You resign midterm. It makes us less powerful. Who else? Oh, yeah. You kick out George Santos. And so I personally, I'm advocating a ceasefire of Mike Johnson until we get an actual majority. And you might say, oh, Charlie, we have to always keep the pressure on. Yeah, okay, but I really don't want Speaker Jeffries this summer. Like, that would be really, really
but
stupid.
Charlie, there are simple rules, like being able to read the bill.
Of course, and I agree with all that.
Literally simple.
What I mean by ceasefire is, like, I'm no longer going to question his Christianity, right? So that, which I was doing for a couple months.
All right, I didn't go that far, yeah. So.
Well, I'm pretty hardcore.
I just called him a pansy.
Yeah, well, that's fine. No, what I did say back in November is how can you as a Christian look your kids in the eye and give secular, godless Democrats like Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden everything they want? That's what I said. But I've ceased fired that, okay? I'm no longer doing that. I'm actually cheering for the House. Here's the thing. I actually think Speaker Johnson, to his credit, he picks up the phone when I call. He communicates. I can't say that about previous regimes. That I think he actually is a conservative. I think that he has no idea how to actually negotiate because I don't think he's ever been part of that. I think that if he was given a 10-seat majority, I think you would be pleased and thrilled with what you would get in contrast to other previous speakers. Why? Because the fact he talks to me and talks to people like me means I think he actually is more of a grassroots conservative than people would give him credit for. But I'm not going to cut excuses for him. He never should have done that $1.2 trillion bill. He should have shut down the government back in the fall. He should have defunded the FBI. He should have. So I'm not making excuses.
Can I say, my mom taught me a great lesson. You don't praise expected behavior. So with a 10-seat majority, Charlie, you, me, Jen, I could take anybody in this room. We could go be great speakers.
Well, but yes and no. That's even that's actually a slim majority, right? I just say that, like, you know, Paul Ryan had a 22-seat majority, right? Boehner had a 30-seat majority, right? So I'm just saying, like, in this, my perspective on Johnson right now, we have a 1-seat majority. Let's see what he does. Let's see how we do in the House. I do think he's going to be better than Hakeem Jeffries. I don't think that's a question, right? I think that we have to prevent that from happening. And I think here's the word I'll use with Johnson. I think that he is coachable, and I think that you can improve with it. And again, I'm like one of his biggest critics, but we'll see what happens. I wouldn't want to be a 1-seat majority guy where you only have you literally can't get anything done. And so
it is an impossible job.
Totally. And again, I'm not an apologist for him. You know that, Grant. Yeah. And so here's my priority. If Trump wins the White House, we will get more seats in the House, okay? And so it's all going to kind of go downstream. So all of my efforts are in getting Donald Trump successfully elected president, and a lot of these things will fix itself, right? We will flip the Senate seat in Montana. We'll flip Ohio. We're going to win West Virginia. And I know this surprises people because we've been battering moderates, but I hope Larry Hogan wins in Maryland, even though he's, like, the worst. Like, I would rather have another Republican senator than a Democrat senator. I mean, again, in a deep blue seat like Maryland, let's go try to take one, right?
Just before you leave, I want to reiterate on that. It's very important, folks. Even a rhino is better than any Democrat.
In a blue state.
In a blue state, well, especially.
So go Steve Garvey.
Yeah, no, 100%. But this is why Mitt Romney was the biggest issue for us, because it was a deep red state of Utah. If you're representing a blue state, this is why I don't pick on Susan Collins, who's a senator from Maine. Of course she's a rhino. She's a senator from Maine. She also voted for Kavanaugh. Good for that. Honestly, God bless her for voting for Kavanaugh, because we needed that, and we never would have repealed Roe versus Wade without Kavanaugh. So I'm glad that she did that. So anyway, I could go through that ad nauseum, but here's the final message. I know we're running out of time, right?
Yeah.
Which is this. The times are tough. The moment is heavy, but we must do our part. You must act with agency. Pray to the Lord and say, use me. Here I am. Get into the arena and no longer be a spectator. Many of you say, Charlie, I do everything that's asked of me. I watch Bannon's War Room. I watch Fox News. I bought the pillow. I've done everything that's been asked of me. By the way, promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com, just so we're clear. None of these promo codes.
Or Grant.
No, Kirk. It's going to require more. It's going to require nonstop resolve. The country is worth saving. What a beautiful moment. Let's think about this positively. Because you can reframe anything to a positive. We live in a moment of the highest consequence since the American Civil War. where the republic is literally hanging in the balance. Everything we do matters. Every speech, every person we contact, every individual we communicate with, which is why you should call the governor of Nebraska. I'll quit on that. But you guys, I love California patriots. You know why? I speak at more California events more than anywhere else in the country. It is close to Phoenix. But also, but you guys, you have a resolve, a spirit, a can-do attitude, a never surrender that I wish the Republicans in Mississippi fought as hard as the grassroots Republicans like you guys do in California do. Never lose
Amen,
that.
Charlie.
Keep fighting, and
Amen.
God bless.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Charlie Kirk.
Guys, a big round of applause, Charlie Kirk.
Hey, buddy, thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.